From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Greece's Prime Minister George Papandreou and his rival conservative opposition leader will meet again today to decide who will be the country's next prime minister. NPR's Silvio Poggioli reports their possible choice is a former vice president of the European Central Bank.
After a week of political turmoil that rocked global markets, infuriated European leaders, and brought Greece to the brink of default, Papandreou and Samaras agreed to form a unity government. Papandreou also agreed to step down as soon as the name of his successor is announced. The caretaker government will have to implement a second EU bailout deal that calls for a 50% write-off of Greek debt, another round of tough anti-crisis measures for an austerity-weary nation, and permanent international monitoring seen by many as a loss of national sovereignty. The coalition will be in place until early elections, perhaps in February. Likely candidate Lucas Papademos is highly respected and has remained above the political fray. Silvio Poggioli, NPR News. News, Athens.
Even as the leadership change unfolds in Greece, there's increasing focus on Italy's debt problems, with the cost of government borrowing there jumping today. Stock prices are tumbling on foreign exchanges, and futures trading is pointing to a possible lower opening on Wall Street as well. Simon Derrick is chief currency strategist at the Bank of New York Mellon.
If there is a slowdown in the Eurozone economy, if there is continued uncertainty, then that will certainly lead to questions about trade with the Eurozone, and more generally investors will obviously just remain rather more cautious.
Derek says Europe's debt crisis is also affecting global currency markets. About 50,000 people in Connecticut still do not have electricity more than a week after the snowstorm that swept through parts of the Northeast. Chuck Matzak, who lives in the town of Simsbury, says the ongoing outage is frustrating.
We're disappointed, discouraged, tired, but I don't know what else you can really say. You know, a lot of this is just the luck of the draw.
And Connecticut Governor Daniel Malloy says he, too, is frustrated with the state's utility, Connecticut Power and Light, which had pledged to have power restored by now.
I was always a little skeptical that they would not meet their self-imposed goal. And to say that I'm frustrated and angry is, of course, an understatement.
Malloy has launched an independent probe of the utility's response to the storm. A new survey finds that nearly half of all students in grades 7 through 12 have experienced some form of sexual harassment over the past year, either face-to-face or via social media. Those responsible for the harassment often say they were just trying to be funny, but of those on the receiving end, nearly a third say the incident left them feeling sick, unable to study, or reluctant even to go to school. Activists in Syria say the death toll from the latest government offensive in Homs has risen to 16. That city has been the target of an assault by Syrian troops over the past 5 days. This is NPR News. The U.S. Supreme Court hears arguments today over whether a person born in Jerusalem can receive a U.S. passport stating their place of birth as Israel. NPR's Nina Totenberg has more.
When Menachem Zivotofsky was born in Jerusalem, his American-Israeli parents took advantage of a 2002 law passed by Congress that would allow his passport to record his place of birth as Jerusalem, Israel. But the State Department refused, citing a long-standing policy of neutrality over which country, if any, has sovereignty over Jerusalem. The Zivotofskys brought suit to enforce the law, but the Obama administration, carrying out the policy of the Bush administration, argues that the statute violates the Constitution by limiting the foreign policy powers of the president. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
The weather near Mount Everest is finally clearing up enough to allow some stranded tourists to get back to civilization. NPR's Corey Flintoff reports thousands of trekkers have been trapped for days in Nepal because heavy clouds prevented planes from reaching the area.
The area around Lukla, Nepal, is a famous destination for mountain climbers and trekkers who want a good look at the highest mountain in the world. For the past week, though, it's been impossible to get out of Lukla. Heavy clouds have prevented any planes from flying in or out. Tourists waiting to leave the area have been camped around the airport for days, and food supplies were beginning to run low. Some travelers complained that the Nepali government has been slow to respond to the problem. Airplanes were able to land at the airport today, and several hundred people managed to fly back to Kathmandu. Corey Flintoff, NPR News.
And I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.